Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for July 28, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. In agricultural news, Tyson is selling its poultry businesses in Mexico and Brazil. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reports that 2014 crop might be falling into the old normal big crop seasonal pricing patterns. It's all on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's go ahead and see how futures settled this afternoon. Hard red winter September wheat settled at 625.5, down 5.75. December, 640.25, down 5. Soft September wheat settled at 534.75, down 3.25. December, 557.75, down 2. September corn settled at 367.75, up 4.75. December, 376.75, up 5. March, 388.5, up 5.25. Go out to July, 403.5, up 5.25. August soybeans settled at 1236.5, up 24.25. September, 1137, up 23.25. November, 1107.75, up 24.25. August soybean meal settled at 402.80, up 4.80. August soybean oil settled at 36.52, up 43 cents. Last trades now. August live cattle, 159, down 10. August feeder cattle, 220.15, up 190. And August lean hogs, 123.55, and they are down 7.5. And those are the last trades and settlements from Chicago.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says net drying is likely in the western U.S. Corn Belt, Northern Plains, and Canadian prairies this week, which will firm up soil throughout the region. Some areas in the southwestern and west central Corn Belt are already rather dry. He says watching these areas is going to be very important, especially in the western Corn Belt, because of the potential for warmer weather in late August and early September. Temperatures in the U.S. Midwest this week will be mostly in the 70s and lower 80s. The milder conditions will conserve soil moisture through slower evaporation, but some soybean crops may need some warmer temperatures to develop most favorably. Central and southwestern portions of the U.S. plains will receive some significant rain this week, benefiting sorghum, sunseed, corn, soybean, and other crops produced in the region.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Your You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I kind of wish when we had spoken this morning and were talking about the potential for soybeans that I didn't limit myself just to a two-week high, but had talked about that gap that was above the market there at 11.47 and a half. Maybe we'd have gotten that filled, too.
Well, they're off to the races here, gapped higher overnight and stayed higher overnight and throughout the trade today. You'll see how the news unfolds this afternoon, but 11.07 and three quarters, the high is 11.10. It could gap again higher tonight if we can see some additional news to support that, but trade caught a little short here. Big demand. I mean, look at the supply-demand balance sheet. We're seeing demand come forward here, so the demand's for real and beans, so the function is to make sure we have those supplies there, so putting a little premium back into the bean market. And technically, we've got some divergent signals here suggest that you know, we should stay firm here for a while. It's not saying we're a raging bull by all means, but I ought to have some recovery strength and give those ones who need to get some additional sales in place to have that opportunity here over the next few weeks.
So export news is part of the fundamental story, and also, I suppose, some fresh concerns about dry weather.
Yeah, it is sort of dry in some areas, and you know, beans particularly weren't off to the best start anyway. You know, we're not in drought mode, per se, but some of the weather maps show real no big organized system till August 7th. Even though it's going to be cool, the moisture usage is going to be hanging in there at an aggressive pace. You know, for corn and even beans, beans are podding, and so it's critical to get some moisture. And some of these areas have been skipped. Now, there's been some fairly good systems come across. It's given a lot of the crop a good drink, but we're probably at a standstill here on production prospects at the moment.
As much as anything, old crop soybeans have been part of this story as well. At this time of year, often China turns its attentions to South America, but Brazil soybean prices are 45, 60 cents above the Gulf, and so China continues to come here for old crop.
Well, that old crop's getting to be an old story. You know, we're talking about when you monitor how much is imported, and there's still some news there, and whether the beans, Argentina, you know, get it out of that country or not. But the big news is probably the meal demand. We're satisfying some of this world demand. Meal demand, so crush is going to remain relatively strong. Need to keep an eye on world vegetable oils to help support that whole complex because it's kind of been meal-led. But when you look at the sales in general, the biggest, though, is the new crop bean sales. You know, they're committed or committing to about 72 million metric tons on the last WASDE report. And they're going to have to continue to be an aggressive buyer here and in South America to satisfy that big demand base they still have in place.
Turn our attentions to corn, which on the charts doesn't look quite as impressive in terms of its daily trade as the soybeans do, but by golly, it has quietly filled its gap as well.
Well, you look at the chart, the corn market's going to be real close tonight. I imagine tonight's the huge, biggest night in the last few weeks that they're going to watch the corn trade from a technical point of view, because if we can gap higher in tonight's trade and hold that higher open, we'll have an island bottom in the corn market on the chart. So technically here, I think it's going to be a huge opening tonight as far as being watched to monitor, see if that happens or not. But like I say, we're going to need some follow through news here to support. We got divergences and so forth. One interesting thing that did show up on Twitter today, Brian Split from, I think he's with Allendale up there, tweeted that in the previous four record corn yield years, 94, 2003, 2004, and 2009, all years had a late June or late July low. Then we saw a 5 to 19% rally. 13% was the average. So 5% up would be 382. 13% would put us to 411 and three quarters. And a 19% rally off the low would put us up around 433 and a half. So, you know, we got big potential here. There has been an average of a 13% rally off of July low.
And the narrative changing there as well with those dry concerns equal to the corn. And maybe the market has gotten ahead of itself. I keep thinking that it has with prospects for 170 BPA at this point.
Yeah, well, it's going to be awful tough to go much above there at this point, too. We'll see how these crop tours unfold in through here. It's a big crop. We've got, like I said, probably that priced in. The end user, though, some of these cash guys been talking to, they feel this futures won't go much below 330 now. The idea that they've got a lot of buying they need to be taken hold of here between now and first of the year.
Well, they sure haven't done it as yet, and sooner or later they will have to enter the marketplace.
Well, it's a matter of time. They're not going to advertise, hey, I need to buy something. You know, it's they're going to sit back and say, well, we got a big line here. We're going to stack some outside.
Yeah.
You're going to have to sell some. I don't have enough storage. Can't get a train. We're going to hear it all, but there's going to be logistics issues as we move in this fall because it's going to be a fairly large crop.
Some comments on the livestock side, please, this afternoon.
Well, cattle and feed report, continues to show a tight situation here. Feeders continue to be on fire. You know, you think livestock profitable, but if you're buying high-priced feeders, you're going to have some fairly cheap corn to still make that pencil out. A lot of profitability in the hog sector. Poultry side's looking fairly well. Need to continue to monitor demand here through the summer months in through here, make sure we continue to see this consumption remain up there.
Do you see much room above feeders at 220?
It's hard. Everybody's a little bit different, but, if these fats don't hold together here, it's going to be fairly tight.
And anything else before we let you go this afternoon that's on your mind that we should know about?
Well, it's a dynamic market, and, it's going to be awful hard to get extended rally unless we get an early freeze, and probably continue with the same plan we've been working with all winter long in this spring, continue to use rallies in here, put a price floor under you to make a little cash to the downside, because this fall I think the way to get out of the hole here to play catch-up is you got to double down on the board here with a conservative position, so the market does rally, you can make a little bit more to the upside here.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
In agricultural news, Tyson Foods has reached an agreement with JBSSA to sell its poultry businesses in Mexico and Brazil. The transaction is valued at $575 million and will be paid for in cash. Tyson Foods officials currently expect the sale, which is subject to regulatory approval, to be completed by the end of 2014. JBS and Pilgrim's Pride currently expect to maintain all of the operations working to capacity with the existing workforces and to maintain all labor contracts in both countries. The Mexican business is a vertically integrated poultry business. It has three plants and employs more than 5,400 team members in its plants, offices, and seven distribution centers. The acquisition of Tyson's Brazilian operations involves three fully integrated production plants, which employs 5,000 team members. Meanwhile, Tyson also posted its fiscal third quarter report today. For the period ending June 28th, The company reported a profit of $260 million, or 73 cents a share, up from $249 million, or 68 cents a share a year ago. Chicken segment sales rose slightly to $2.83 billion on a 1.3% increase in volume. Pork sales surged 33% to $1.77 billion, benefiting from a 5% volume increase and a 26% increase in prices. McDonald's Corporation is facing a shortage of products at some of its stores in China, following problems with an embattled Shanghai meat supplier that allegedly sold expired meat to fast food chains across the country. Chinese consumers and outlets across northern and central China will have a limited menu as a result of supplier changes. The shortage comes after McDonald's cut its orders from Shanghai Husai Food Company last week. Shanghai health officials accused the meat supplier of intentionally selling meat beyond its shelf life to restaurant companies. Meanwhile, the U.S. owner of Shanghai Husai says that it is assigning new managers to its China business. OSI President David McDonald said the Aurora, Illinois-based company will bring in a team of OSI managers to focus on its China operations, quality assurance, compliance, and auditing. A federal appeals court has reversed a 2012 ruling requiring the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to hold public hearings to evaluate the health risks of widespread use of antibiotics in animal feed. The decision by the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed a ruling by a district court that sided with several health and consumer organizations that sued the FDA after the agency decided against holding the hearings. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The price of corn may be too low at the moment, though that could change as the growing season progresses. Todd Gleason reports the 2014 crop might be falling into the old normal big crop seasonal pricing patterns.
It used to be that bumper corn crop year price patterns were pretty predictable. The trade would overdo the downside during the growing season as it became anxious about where and how such a big crop would be used and stored. Usually the price pattern would bottom, come close to harvest, just before, during, or after. Then a slow climb from the price depths would follow because new demand would develop in response to the cheap price. The University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good lays this all out in his July 21st FarmDoc Daily website post. Here's how Good sums it up.
If the corn crop reaches the lofty levels currently expected, the key to prices after harvest will be the response by users of corn. The low price of corn relative to livestock, relative to other feed ingredients, and relative to ethanol points to the potential for a surprisingly large consumption response. In that case, the seasonal pattern of corn prices during the upcoming marketing year would be expected to follow a more typical large crop pattern, that is, lowest near harvest and then increasing as the marketing year progresses.
Good mentioned the low price of corn when compared to other commodities, livestock, ethanol, and other feed ingredients, soybeans in this case. The trade calls those price ratios, and they have changed in the last 2 months.
The soybean-corn price ratio is of particular interest. In the July WASDE report, the USDA forecast 2014 marketing year-ending stocks at 13.5% of consumption. Similarly, marketing year-ending stocks of soybeans represented about 12% of consumption. On the surface, similar stock levels for corn and soybeans would suggest that the soybean-corn price ratio would be near a more normal level of about 2.4. Based on harvest delivery cash bids in central Illinois, the current soybean-corn price ratio is over 3. The declining and increasingly low price of corn relative to soybeans suggests that the market currently expects the marketing year ending stocks to use ratio for corn to be much higher than projected by the USDA.
Darrell Good, in a previous FarmDoc Daily Post, suggested even a yield about 5 bushels higher than forecast by USDA in the July WASDE report, a trend line, would not point to average prices as low as currently reflected in the market. Therefore, he says the seasonal pattern of corn prices during the 14-15 marketing year may follow a more typical large crop pattern, lowest near harvest and then increasing as the marketing year progresses. The USDA's first survey-based forecast size of the U.S. corn crop, by the way, is to be released Tuesday, August 12th. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Greg Johnson of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Dave.
What did you make of the little rally we saw in soybeans today?
It was a nice rally today. We saw China come in and buy some soybeans last week with the down market, and then they bought some more this morning. So two big purchases have allowed the soybean market to stabilize. Beans, old crop beans especially, have been down 9 weeks out of the last 11. So I think they were due for a bounce, and the news that China has been buying some beans gave us that bounce today.
So is this the start of a week that has some more oomph in it still?
Well, it kind of feels like, that if China continues to follow through, we could see a little bit more upside. You combine that with a drier and cooler forecast, and there's some people that think the corn's far enough along that it probably wouldn't be adversely affected by lack of rain, but the beans may. And then you throw on top of that the news today that Argentina is trying to negotiate a settlement on their bonds. Otherwise, they have to default, and the Argentine farmers are going to hold on to beans because a bond default would mean higher interest rates, higher inflation. So you got a combination of Argentina, China, and the weather all help, and plus the fact that beans have been down 9 out of the last 11 weeks. All those are helping out beans, and could see a little bit more follow-through, but bottom line is we just don't know what the yield is going to be yet.
Is the narrative changing on the corn vis-a-vis cooler weather?
No, not here in central Illinois. I think maybe in the northern states, Wisconsins and Dakotas and Minnesotas, they might be a little concerned. But I think we got our corn planted 3 to 4 weeks earlier than we did in 2009. So I'm not ready to, call this a 2009 repeat yet.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a national crop along the way right now. And I think they're just going to be beginning to go through pollination up there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So they've got a long ways to go yet, but through here we're in pretty good shape, I'd say.
So, what is the number one concern out there at the Andersons right now regarding fall?
It's the railroad performance. We still have not been able to load out all of our old crop corn. It's all sold, but the railroad has not shown up with cars. And unless they really improve their service by fall, which I'm not holding my breath for, you could see lots of corn piles at elevators this fall.
Very quickly, your price.
Old crop corn is $3.67, new corn $3.50, old beans $12.68, new beans $10.88, and the wheat is $5.20.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thanks, Dave.
Greg Johnson of the Andersons, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. It's National Milk Chocolate Day, as well as National Cheesecake Day and National Drive-Thru Day. By the way, drive-thru service initially became popular in the restaurant industry in the late 1940s. In-N-Out Burger claims to have built the first drive-thru restaurant in 1948. On this day in agricultural history in 1586, it's claimed that the potato was introduced to England by Sir Thomas Harriot. In 1852, Andrew Jackson Downing died, an American horticulturalist. He was author of The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America.
In 1866, the metric system was authorized to standardize weights and measures in the U.S. In 1900, one of the many claims to the origin of the hamburger is that Louis Lansing first served hamburgers on a bun in his diner in New Haven, Connecticut. And in 1907, Earl S. Tupper was born. In the 1930s, Tupper invented a flexible, lightweight material that was used to make plastic gas masks during World War II. After the war, he turned his attention to consumer products, and Tupperware was born. At first, the food storage containers were a flop, but sales ignited with the introduction of the Tupperware party. And that's this day in agricultural history. Listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Mark Russo from Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago. Good afternoon, Mark.
Oh, good afternoon, Dave.
We got good rain right here, I mean, on my roof over the weekend. But I'm beginning to wonder if the narrative is changing somewhat. As maybe there are some concerns about dry pockets about the Corn Belt?
Yeah, and we've started to see that here in July with overall some dry pockets beginning to evolve across various pockets here or areas of the Corn Belt. For example, places such as southern Minnesota, as well as some pockets in northern Indiana, and then into areas of west central Illinois, starting to trend actually less than 50% of normal over the past 30 days. Your roof there, Dave, that is one of the pockets here that actually are running a precip surplus over the past 30 days.
Yeah.
But it's only a few pixels here and there, and that happens to be right over your roof. So,
well, it's always been said it rains on me, so.
Well, coming up, overall, we see most of the Corn Belt actually having a drier than normal pattern over the next couple of weeks. So for the Champaign Urbana region, let alone Illinois and the Corn Belt, we're forecasting below normal precip totals, especially this week. Again, just some isolated activity here and there. And then week two of the forecast looks a little bit better than week one. We're still talking only a minority of the Corn Belt receiving significant rain. So there's something to watch here. Obviously, as soybeans go through pod development in August and the longevity of this dry pattern, but one thing is for sure, at least over the next couple of weeks, the dryness will not be combined with any kind of significant heat, as all the heat stays out west over the western U.S.
I want to also explore a piece of narrative about the coolness of the summer thus far, and should we go cool continuously into the fall, how it might impact the northern tier of corn development.
Well, the coolness here this summer, it's really been confined to July, and it looks like early August is going to start that way as well. June, as well as late May, actually had some longer duration warm spells, and as a result, at least for some growing degree days, they've really started to, you know, at least cut back here just during the past couple of weeks. And really, from a longer term standpoint, what's transpired here in July doesn't really give any kind of, you know, skillful prediction as far as what the fall may hold. But just make one final comment on that is that if you do kind of average out your jet stream patterns over the past actually 12 months or so, we've had the same kind of average pattern, meaning more troughing low pressure across the Midwest. We've had, obviously, the cold winter and, at times, some good cold spells. Just from a persistence standpoint, that does increase the odds of at least a cooler fall, especially come October.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome, Dave.
Mark Russo of Earth Risk Technologies Incorporated in Chicago.
And that is today's Closing Market Report.